Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today's main rep magazine is we got Katie back. Katie's Woo-hoo! Here. Woo! And Buck is making his first appearance on Yay! The podcast too. He's a little off screen, so if you want to go check out the YouTube, you can. But Kate, before we start, how are you feeling?
So much better than I was. We're exactly 2 weeks out now. It was rough at first. It was a little rough. And maybe I had a little diarrhea last night.
That's okay.
But that's okay. Other than that, I'm doing really well. Are my nipples on fire? Yes.
Yeah.
Other than that, and the diarrhea, and it hurts when I sneeze, I'm doing good. See, I'm done complaining now.
So what do you do whenever you have nipperoons that are in your condition? You got to grin and bear it?
I keep fighting through it. They sell like little plastic hats that can go over top that some baby, and my guy just says, no, I want the real deal. I want to gnaw on the real deal.
Yeah.
You know in Mean Girls when the chihuahua's chewing on her nipple?
Yes.
That's
yes.
what it's been like for me, except I can feel it, you know?
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
What's been different about this first couple days than your last? Anything?
I think this made me realize that maybe I had a severe anxiety disorder last time. I think this time I'm like so zen and so chill that I'm like, oh, I think maybe I had a problem last time. So
maybe it was, well, I'm not going to tell you how you were feeling, but you think it was maybe just postpartum?
I think it was a mix of disorder. I don't know. And I think also with a lot of first-time parents, you're probably way more on edge than you are with a second. So it's not like I'm just tossing them around or anything, but it was definitely, I'm definitely like much more, like I'm not afraid to shower if with someone else watching them. Last time, like I had to have him in my sight kind of thing. So I don't know. It's just, I feel much more confident as a mom this time around, even though I still have no idea what I'm doing.
No, but like you're already a mom. So I get that completely. I can imagine that it's a lot easier this time.
Yeah. So other than that, no, it's going really well. He's pushing 11 pounds already. He came out at 9.94 and he's just chewing on these nips, man. So we're crushing it. Somebody slid in my DMs and was like, because I made a post complaining about my nipples and they're like, I thought you were a Marine. And I was like, buddy, if you gave all the infantry Marines the same nipple chew treatment, they would be in the smoke pit crying to each other about.
Also, shut the fuck up. You're allowed to be in pain and say that you're in pain.
The gall on people to reach out to you, though, because I think you posted something the other week about something. I don't really recall, but people were coming at you and telling you how you should feel or what you should do. And I just don't understand where people get off trying to tell someone else, especially a guy trying to tell you. That's what it was when you were talking about your C-section and having like, you know, you're a little like nervous, whatever, because it's a major surgery. And I think we talked about this, but I didn't realize until we were going through this process that a C-section, I thought the baby was just like right there at the cervix. They cut you open, like pull the baby out. Oh, no. They like take out all those organs, put them on the side, and then they put them back in, which is bonkers to me that there's not a better way to do that. But for a guy to say anything to you like, oh, well, you'll be fine. It's routine. Like you can kind of
a lot of guys were like, it's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal. And I was like, well, Come have my pooper and my nips and you tell me. But anyway, no, other than that, no, it's going really well. And I'm so in love with the guy and we're just having ourselves a time. Cash has been a great big brother. And yeah, little buckshot Cassidy.
The amount of people that thought that was your son's like real name. Disturbing. And not,
I mean,
just
people we know too.
My
yeah,
own
people
family.
That know you.
My own relatives have been reaching out being like, is that, did you really name him Buckshot? And like, it's, I guess I'm going to keep the mystery going. So, yeah.
Well, what is that? I guess, what does that say about you? What does that say about you that people...
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for each of you. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Gave even the inkling of that that was actually the name.
I think that's all the baby's dad. I think people look at the baby's dad and they're like, oh, yeah, he could be named Buckshot.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. I think old Bucky could have been it for sure. But we're glad to have you back, Kate. I'm so excited
glad
to see
back.
You and talk to you.
It's good to see you guys, too, and especially back from your big trip to Miami, and the video is out now.
Yep. So super me cool. And Cons went down to Homestead a couple weeks ago, and we got to meet some amazing people. We got to meet a fella named Frenchie, who's a World War II veteran, was an aerial gunner as well, did all kinds of stuff. That guy, I think if you want to talk to a World War II guy, he's a quintessential example of what they are.
Like, yeah.
Every time me and Cons ask him, like, was that difficult when you came back? He was like, no, man, I had a good time. I wanted to kind of go back. And he was like in the Battle of Okinawa. And I'm like, dude, that seems pretty bad. I don't know if I'd want to go back, but he said it was fine.
He was very matter of fact about everything, which I think is probably true of a lot of World War II veterans that just think, well, this is what I was told to do. So I did my job, and they don't think anything beyond that. And obviously generations have changed in terms of dealing with maybe the trauma of war, but he seemed like, go watch the video. The guy could not have seemed in better spirits. He was quick with it, too. He was very funny, I thought.
99, very sharp.
Very sharp, very sharp. And the thing I'll say, too, anytime we do any video with people who are not typically on camera doing anything, you never know what you might get. And everybody we interacted with that day was a pro. Like, it seemed like they were ready for this, and they had done it a million times before. They were great on camera, gave great answers, and did a phenomenal job with everything that we asked in terms of what we wanted to do. They were very accommodating. So I'm excited to see what comes of that renovation.
Yeah. People are saying, Chaps, very manly with a sledgehammer. People are saying, the streets are talking about your sledgehammer skills and your...
Oh, goodness gracious. I know, Kate. People are calling Elise and being like, your husband's such a hunk. You and them and Cons and Chaps were looking good, like little pieces of snacks. I don't like being sexualized, Kate. I'll tell you that right now.
Wasn't me. I'm just hearing the rumors.
You rip off your shirt and slam a sledgehammer one time and people come across the internet saying they want to fuck you. I don't like that. That's
you
not-
haven't dumped him out. That's
true. I did.
I have to admit something though, because I was the first one to take a crack at that old bar, and I've swung a sledgehammer plenty of times in my life, swung an axe plenty of times in my life. That's something I'm really looking forward to, owning a house, chopping my own wood. Another story for another day. But I had no idea. I was a little nervous that I was going to swing and that nothing was going to happen. It was just going to like bounce off, and I was going to look like a complete idiot. Luckily, that didn't happen. Because it's not every day you get to take a sledgehammer to a bar.
Yeah, and I have to have some integrity here. We're going to not be integrity violators. I got two possible integrity violations, by me and Cons, and one just by myself. And the one by myself is egregious. So the first one, whenever Cons and I went, we were slamming those sledgehammers, and we look like all that's man. Like, we're going after it and just destroying it. Truth of the matter is, they took some sawzaws and did pre-cuts.
Like, no. Down,
so the video would look better.
No.
And we could have just let everybody believe that forever, but we can't do that. They pre-cut it for the video purposes. And the only one who took a legit swing without that, our guy Frenchie. He went straight after the normal one.
No.
And he ended up, I think he actually swang harder than I did.
Swung.
Swang works, right? He swang.
When you're down south, you swang.
He swang. We're below. We're in Florida, so I think it counts. Secondly, yeah. I think one of the longest running jokes there, or not jokes, statements that I've made on this show is that I will never run again. I'm back to running. And it's not just, I'm not doing runs out in town or anything like that down the street. But in this new office, the amount of things that are going on in the new office, I don't have that capability. Like, I had to do volleyball. I've had to do pickleball, play basketball.
Dodgeball.
I can't do that with integrity and still not run. So I want to get out ahead of it that's gone. I have made an egregious mistake. I have probably disappointed many listeners, but I wanted to get out in front. This is what's going to happen, and I'm going to have to do it. I have no choice in the matter.
I'll be damned. You're running again.
Yeah, I mean, I did want to bring up one thing, though, chaps.
Okay.
I watched the dodgeball, and I just wanted to say it kind of makes sense how you got shot. You know, it just – listen, God didn't make everybody an athlete, all right? And that's okay. You do your best. Proud of you. You try. You're getting involved.
Listen,
you're getting in
Cons,
the mix.
I am concerned that my shoulder will never, ever be the same again. After I got hit by the car – I was showing people here. There's like a line in my forearm that like yellow, and a white stripe down the middle. And my shoulder is fucked. Like I'm trying to throw that ball and keep him back. Like agony screams every time I leap back and hit that. I went to go play golf for the first time this morning in like a week. I took a week off. I swung one time and it was like my entire arm was throbbing. Ugh. I think I might be fucked forever. And that was like the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Do you have to stretch before you play golf?
Yeah. I use the orange whip.
Yeah. Oh. No, I have a full stretch routine that I'll do in the locker room before I go out there.
Pussies.
If I just go out there and start swinging, I'll pull muscles. I just can't do it anymore.
That's what happens from time to time. And sometimes you need to get amped up a little bit with our friends from Zen. And you guys know we're all keeping it real. So let's talk about something making a real change for our vets in active duty right now. We got Zen nicotine pouches. If you're looking for a new way to enjoy nicotine, America's number one nicotine pouch comes in 10 varieties like wintergreen, spearmint, coffee, and two strengths. We got 3 milligrams to kick off your experience and 6 milligrams to take it up a notch. Zen is a smoke-free, spit-free, hands-free, giving you more freedom to move. Plus, it comes as is, no batteries or devices needed to get your Zen on, which is one less thing to worry about on your next trip to the PX. Kate, secret, what do you think the best little thing about Zen is for active duty folk that like to dip or used to like to dip?
You don't have to have the spitter.
No spitter, and you could do it while you're walking. If you're a Marine.
Oh, yeah, you can have it.
You can't spit. You can't do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't.
I was going to say, nobody's going to dare you to chug the spit in the smoke pit. So you get a free pass there. You're safe.
Yeah. An absolute free pass. But look, when it comes to making a change, we all know progress is more important than perfection. Zen knows it too, because everyone's on a different path. If you're curious about what a premium nicotine experience looks like, head to your local convenience store, PX, or Zen.com to find out. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So earlier this week, I was going through the old interwebs, and I came across, I think our guy Kyle had tweeted it out over at Task and Purpose the first time. So the Taliban, look, it's like one of those drill tweets where the Taliban, you don't necessarily have to give it to them. But in this case, the Taliban, I think if we use some of their tactics in recruiting, we would do a little bit better. And I'm not talking about the bad stuff. We all know the bad stuff. But they've been rolling through town in light armor vehicles, which I'm pretty sure are light armor vehicles that we left behind. They're rolling down the streets. and they have tactical rollerbladers. They have rollerbladers that are rolling along the side. They're grabbing the windows kind of like they're an Uber Eats driver in New York or Chicago. They're pulling around, and then they whip out in front. I think that's a pretty sweet MOS. Combat rollerblading, pretty good.
Well, some cities have the downtown rollerblade cops that can really...
Wait, really?
I swear to God. And they, like, catch robbers and stuff because they're so fast on their little rollerblades, their little scoot boots. So,
yes.
I don't know. And I feel like rollerblading was huge here in the 90s, but it's just hitting Afghanistan now. So they're about to have their 90s, I feel like, and really, really get into it.
Wait till they hear that song One Week by Bare Naked Ladies. They're absolutely going to lose their shit. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. So we have that vehicle that's coming across the, or not really vehicle, they have rollerblades. Second, it's been announced that different special operations group in the United States and then different types of infantry platoons are going to have electric dirt bikes that they're going to be able to like recharge through solar purposes and shit like that. Be an electric dirt bike warrior, also amazing, right?
Well, I had seen at the motor pools, even when I was in, they had dirt bikes. Every now and then you'd see like a dirt bike or something. And I was like, holy shit, who gets to use these? And they're like, not you, Pogue. very high speed people. But like ATVs, dirt bikes, blah, blah, blah. That's cool as hell. And so now what you're saying, they're adapting it so they can, they don't need gas anymore. They just can use.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because think about if you're on an old school Kawasaki and you're going through wow, 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 like all through the woods, you're giving away your tactical advantage. But a electric bike through the woods is almost silent because the trees and all that will stop the sound.
Yeah.
I think it could work. And not only that, we have that going on. Our guys have electric bikes. They have rollerblades. Ukraine is using jet skis to go around.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code Barstool20.
Combat jet skis. I don't know what they're going to do when it's cold, but apparently they go, and get launched from smaller boats, and then they go in quick reaction force, pop, 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 shoot up some different Russian guards that are on like piers and shit like that, and then boom, they're gone like a phantom, separating out where they can't really chase anybody down. That would be an incredible job.
I think what we were seeing here, though, really, is just a lot of people across the world, it seems, that
fucking
have gotten
love
really... Well, not only that, but I think they've really gotten into 90s action movies with all these alternate forms of transportation. This seems like something like Sly Stallone would do in one of the Rambo movies, is commandeer a jet ski and then just annihilate the enemy with his, you know, 50 cal that he's just carrying by his shoulder. And I just think if we leverage just a little bit more, we wouldn't be having our recruiting problems that we're having right now. Just be like,
if they came out cool with a commercial with a military grade jet ski with a saw mounted on the front of it, I'll re up. I'll join again. That's cool.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
I mean, you're coming in on rollerblades coming up, and everybody's like, Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne. As soon as you pass them on your rollerblades, and then you start and you start going backwards, and you could actually shoot and move going backwards instead of running.
Well, you know who would have your six?
Bring up the six.
Me. You guys can pull me on a tube, a combat tube on the back, and I got your six. I love tubing.
I love the idea of
that. With the slingshot, Kate, slingshot. And then she goes after it.
But I get how, if you were using that in a river in Ukraine, if I was a Russian troop and we were posted up by some river, I would never expect Ukrainians on jet skis to be coming for my ass.
Like, no, it's like those
guys. It's great.
It's like those videos that come out with the Somali pirates where you'll have a huge cargo ship and they'll be in essentially little dinghies, but coming up to you, opening up fire. That would be terrifying to have Somali pirates coming at pirates of any kind coming at you. And then you switch that up and they're on jet ski, even more maneuverable. Like, what are you going to do?
But they've got all, what, electric skateboards they're working on. It must be really cool to work in the lab that's doing this stuff. But, like, electric skateboards is really a thing they're working on in case, for whatever mission might need it. Paragliders, powered parachutes, personal aerial vehicles. There's a guy I follow online, and the British military works closely with him. I wish I could think of the name of him, but he's, like, perfected the jetpack. He's, like, Tony Stark. Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah, I've seen him.
Like Superman, through weaving between buildings and going under bridges, and like he can do some crazy shit. And he hosts workshops now where you could even do it for your bachelor party if you had enough money. Like you can come out to his farm and he'll teach you, but it costs a shit ton. But he's been working with the military, teaching them how to use it, because it really is like future shit where it looks like he's Superman and he can go anywhere and do anything with his jetpack. So it's
Big Cat would buy one. If we asked him to buy one, we could go to Lake Michigan and just goof around that. That would be a good
time. I'll tell you what. Unfortunately, though, the problem with all this cool stuff, you can't have this go across all the branches. It's got to be confined to, the special operations community.
Oh.
I kind of disagree. I think this should be like in the Air Force or Coast Guard. They're the only ones that are mature enough to handle this kind of
response. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you need people who are going to be mature enough to maintain this equipment and not goof around with it. You give this to some freaking, PFC in the Army, some, PFT Schmuckatelli. This stuff's not cheap. It's going to get broken real fast. Look how much, our Humvees get kicked to shit. So we got to be careful who we put, ATVs and rollerblades in the hands of.
Counterpoint cons, Woody Williams told us that whenever the flamethrowers came to Iwo Jima, that they just figured it out. And if you think that anybody's going to do anything, it's Marines with a flamethrower.
True. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess he was pretty responsible with that thing.
Well, that's up for debate. Like he did his job, but he told us that he just was going out there having a good time. I mean, if you're getting shot at like that, you might as well have a flamethrower.
Might as well.
And if you're going to do that, you might get sued. And if you do get sued, you should go with Morgan & Morgan. Have you heard of Morgan & Morgan before? If not, then you probably didn't know that Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury firm, with over $15 billion recovered for over 300,000 of their clients. They have a proven track record of fighting for the people for more than 35 years, and submitting an injury claim with them is free and easy. You probably also didn't know that Morgan & Morgan is the official law firm of the UFC. And UFC 296 is coming up. And thanks to Morgan & Morgan, you can win action, or you can win tickets to the action. Whether it's the legal battles or octagon battles, Morgan & Morgan has got you covered. They are giving one lucky winner $2,000 and two tickets to UFC 296 to see Edwards and Covington go to battle in Las Vegas. Entering to win is easy. Just go to morganufc.com/ZBT. That's morganufc.com/ZBT for your chance to win $2,000 and two tickets to UFC 296 in Las Vegas. There's no purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the 48 contiguous United States and D.C. who are 18 plus. This week stakes end November 20th, 2023. For entry and official rules, visit morganufc.sweep.com. Entering to win is easy. Again, just go to morganandmorganufc.com/ZBT. One other thing that I wanted to talk about with you guys and with Kate, I think we need to talk about it with Kate because she's in prime baby mode. And when you're in prime baby mode, no pun intended. One of the things that you have to do all the time is schedule different appointments for your baby because you're nervous about this and that. Cons, I'm sure you're going through that with Maggie too. Anytime that she has the little sniffles, you're like, should we take her to the doctor? Should we not take the doctor? Mm-hmm. I came across this article this week that talked about Amazon Prime, and they are launching their own little medical service. And we talk about all the time, like the VA needs to get better, TRICARE needs to get better, medical insurance across the board needs to get better. Jeff Bezos done it again. This is not an ad. $9.99 a month, and you have access to 24-hour-a-day virtual appointments where you can get on with a doctor within 5 minutes, and then your generic prescription drugs will come within 2 days, shipped on Amazon Prime. That's a great idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, eliminating doctor's visits, which are obviously so costly. And how often do you go to the doctor? You know, you sit there for 20 minutes in the waiting room to be seen, okay? And then you get in and it's first the nurse, like, oh, let me take all your vitals. Okay, cool. And then the doctor comes in, they talk to you for 38 seconds and they say like, oh, you just need XYZ and then you're done. When if I could just do that on my phone and just do, you know, cut right to that 38 second portion and get told what I need. And then, oh, by the way, it's just connected to my Prime and it's going to send me the medication. I'd sign up for that.
Yeah. I want to do a military overseas version where I'm like that Theranos where she claimed that she could take one prick of your blood and tell you everything that's wrong with you. But for STDs, you just send me what your rash looks like and I'll prescribe you what I think.
I bet they have that, like that plant app that you can go up to any tree. I bet you can take a picture of any spot on like your flaps or your testicles and they'll be like, oh, this is what you got. You got cauliflower warts.
Something like that. I don't know if my kids, there's something about having them be seen in person that I don't know if I would trust someone over the internet that I didn't know just going off. Like, I don't know. There's something about being in person that I feel like you can't replicate with medicine. Maybe.
The thing I'm worried about, data. If Jeff Bezos, they be selling your data all the time, it might be as valuable of a business as it is for like Amazon buying stuff is their data portion. They have access to everything about you, including your medical care, because I'm sure you have to give them a little bit of medical history too. Like you have to go in there, who's doing what age bracket, because you know that they're going to have just all kinds of things that they can sell about you.
You probably have to upload your records into it if you want to.
Yeah.
I will say though, I have a hard time believing that this would not be HIPAA compliant. And there are a ton of other regulations besides just HIPAA that online medicine has to follow, specifically when it comes to protecting someone's personal data. So I have to imagine that in order for this to have gotten the green light, it went through a rigorous compliance process.
Oh, yeah. Had to for them to be in a place where they can announce it now. And Mark, they're not the only ones. Mark Cuban has his prescription drug thing.
Yeah. But
being able to talk to somebody within 10 minutes, that's a game changer for parents, man. Like your own self, whatever. Like you can go do whatever. But having that ability with small kids is amazing. That was Bucks making a little noise. I love it. Little baby in the podcast.
Well, yeah, because it's also such a production to take your little one, but put him in the car, bring him to the doctor's office. So, Kate, I see your angle in terms of wanting to talk to somebody in person, but sometimes if things are hectic and you just need a quick answer.
Especially when you know what it is. Like, I know they have strep or I know they have this. Can you just look at them real quick to the camera and tell me?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think there's like benefits.
Completely agree. All right, let's do a little game of good initiative, bad judgment. There's a woman named Sarah Frakis and her partner Robert Clark were arrested Friday night after having intercourse on a public property in Florida during which they were fully nude with juvenile present nearby. After the couple was arrested, the woman reportedly told police that it was, quote, always a dream of mine to have sex in public. Meanwhile, Clark showed zero remorse regarding the incident. The Pinellas County Sheriff's received a plethora of calls Friday night about a nude couple fornicating in the presence of victims, including a pair of juveniles. They were fully nude on top of each other. It also reveals Clark was lying on his back.
Please tell me the age of these people. Backtrack here.
They are 55 and 60 years old. Excellent point, Kate. If this has been a lifelong thing for you to have a little coitus in front of everybody else, you're getting close to your last ability to do that at 56 and 60.
Have you guys ever seen people having sex in public?
No. One time. And it was awesome.
I don't think so.
It was awesome.
I love watching people kiss in public.
I saw a couple having sex in public on the beach. It's just below Torrey Pines Golf Course.
Life is a highway. and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
In San Diego, I used to go hiking down there when I was in. It's a nude beach. People don't realize it's 3 miles of nude beach at the bottom of that cliff. And went down there one.
That's a lot of nude beach.
It's never the hot nudes that are down there. I'll tell you that much. One time I stumbled upon an elderly nude volleyball game. And another time there was an old ass couple like this on a blanket just going to pound town. Full, just completely on their blanket. Like 4:30 p.m. sun shining on the sand, and everyone was going about their day. Like,
were they making love or were they fucking, Kate?
It was a pounding.
Oh, we went to pound town.
It was a pound town. Okay, it was a pound town, and it was. I was shook.
What was your reaction? Did you cheer?
I walked by like four times, being like. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Cause it was, and it wasn't fit. These people were not fit. This was not young, cool sex. This was old, lots of folds and flaps and knickknacks and bric-a-bracs flying around. It was not. Anyway, back to your story. Yeah,
the people said that they're on benzos. And this is where I think it gets out of hand. Our law enforcement and what we do a little much at times. I don't think you should be thrown in jail for a long period of time if you're doing a little sex on a bench. I mean, granted, you got to do something to curb that type of behavior. But $50,000 bail is what the guy's being held on. 50 grand.
Well, they were doing it on the causeway, a very busy waterway with kids around.
Yeah.
That's where I say,
yeah, that's not 50 okay.
50 grand is fine.
Yes.
How
I agree.
Old are the kids? I
doesn't
think
matter.
16 counts as a kid. I think you could fuck out there. Don't tell them, don't look. Maybe have a blanket. Are we okay if there's a blanket?
No, I think anyone under the age of 18, not an adult, I think this is not okay.
This is picture a kid seeing this. A witness reportedly described the incriminating scene as crack to sack going to town.
I love that phrase. We're going crack. No. That's deep a thrust. And you're right, Kate. That's pound town.
And I mean, she was really having the woman, she exposed herself and she was slapped with narcotics charge. She had clozapine, a benzo inside an Altoids container in her purse. You got to find
what's that used for? What is that used for? I don't know.
Feeling funky. She was just on a little trip there, Cons.
Oh, okay. Got it.
She was probably high as hell.
Wasn't that the 80s drug of choice was benzos?
Who?
I think it, wasn't the 80s like the prime time for benzos? Wasn't.
What, Quaaludes?
Quaaludes, all that stuff. Oh, yeah, Quaaludes, like the 70s. Yeah, 60s, 70s, little 80s.
I don't even know what Quaaludes do.
80s is more of a cocaine time, I feel like. But, you know.
Yeah. Little nose beers action.
But right what for her age, I guess, to be doing that. So.
Okay.
Well.
All right, let's move on to a terrible story that came out this week. It's another tragedy involving some of the special forces groups. Kate, what do we have there?
Yeah, this is absolutely heartbreaking. Five members of the U.S. Army Special Operations Forces have died in a helicopter crash in the Mediterranean Sea. And this news came out on Sunday. The troops were crew members of an MH-60 Black Hawk that was on a refueling training mission late on Friday when it crashed off the coast of Cyprus. The crash is under investigation. The Pentagon quietly dispatched to Cyprus commando teams from the Joint Special Operations Command, including Army's Delta Force and the Navy SEAL Team 6, to stand by in case they're needed to help evacuate citizens from the area. So we've been building a presence, sending more troops to the Middle East area, just in case, to be kind of like a QRF. And that's apparently what they were there doing.
And I think that's bullshit. I think it's not true. There's no chance that Delta folks and Navy SEALs are on the same helicopter doing a refueling mission. Like, that's just patently absurd, especially when the specialty of Navy SEAL Team 6 is hostage rescue. Like, we've had Rob O'Neill and a couple other SEAL Team 6. They always talk about going to get the captain that was taken by the Somali pirates. They always talk about that whenever they're going in to rescue one of the what the fuck, it's the twin brothers that are both SEALs. One of them is in Congress now. They go out and they rescue Latrells. The Latrells. They go out and rescue people that have been captured, and that's what they do. So you have Delta Force, the most elite army unit, and Navy SEALs in the same region where there's a bunch of hostages, and you're telling me that they were refueling? No way. No chance.
We don't want to speculate. I don't know until...
Well, Kate, I'm going to tell you flat out. I've talked to some people.
As the official golf cart of the Barstool Classic, Easy Go golf carts are built to perform. Built to outlast... and built for a smooth ride, even in the deepest rough. Whether you're on the course or out on the town, with Easy Go, it's good to go. For a limited time, request a quote with code BARSTOOL to get $1,000 off a new 2024 golf cart at EasyGo.com. One more time, that's $1,000 off with code BARSTOOL at EasyGo.com when you request a quote.
Oh, that wasn't a training mission. I'll just leave it at that. So they're protecting, you know, political relations and what are we doing over there? I think they're playing a long game, and that definitely wasn't just like, oh, we're just practicing refueling. No.
Yeah.
Well, especially I can see the speculation because the commandos, like you said, are trained in hostage rescue operations, and about a dozen or so American hostages were seized when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th. But Biden administration officials have indicated they have no plans to put American boots on the ground in the Gaza Strip, where the Israeli military is now conducting major ground operations. So I think a lot of the speculation is they were on some kind of mission or building up to a mission to go get those hostages, those Americans out. Is that kind of what you're hearing, or you don't? It's, I don't know.
I'm hearing
that
it wasn't.
Assumption.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically that it's not, I'll just say this, that's being reported right now is not accurate.
Well, the five killed in the crash of the Black Hawk included a West Point graduate who resigned his commission as an officer to fly Army helicopters, and a second pilot who was once awarded the highest medal for valor that the Army can give for combat flying. And Cons, you had a connection there. You were saying that.
No, I knew that the gentleman, Steve Dwyer, we ran in them, mutual friends. So I knew him to say hello, and you know, we were at Cavazos, relatively the same time, you know, so ran into him at different functions and things of that nature. So like I said, I knew him to say hello, but he wasn't like a close friend. But I did see a lot of people that I am friends with, you know, posting about him, that did know him well and spoke very highly of him. So really, really sad to see that we lost him, and as well as the rest of the crew as well.
And we poke fun at Cons about being a West Point guy and loving being an officer and all that stuff. But when I read that he was a West Point graduate and resigned his commission so that he can keep doing the job that he loved, I was legitimately blown away. And not just because of like the desire to be a pilot, but you're giving up money. You're giving up all kinds of stuff, like your retirement level money. You're giving up a lot to continue that job. It really just shows that there's people in the military that the money doesn't matter to them. It's a lot about the job. I think the other guy did it too. He was an officer and then he resigned his commission. There was two that were involved here that resigned their commission so that they can continue flying, and they're flying for elite groups. Like, they don't just put SEAL folks and Delta folks in with any old body. They have to be trained in their operations.
Yeah. So two things there. I mean, you know, number one, resigning your commission makes sense because as pilots in the officer world, like as you go up the ranks, you fly less and less. Like, you have to fly, I think, X amount of hours just to keep your, you know, certifications or whatever up to date, but you don't get to really fly anymore. So that's, you know, the reason behind doing it. And then I think a lot of people don't even know about the 160th. Certainly people in the military know the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, the Night Stalkers. But I think people hear all the time, oh, SEAL Team 6 and Delta. Well, how do you think SEAL Team 6 and Delta like get to these places? Like, when we went and got Bin Laden and SEAL Team 6 went and got Bin Laden, who do you think flew them there? It was the 160th. So the 160th is part of every major covert operation, and they don't get talked about as much for their part And they don't get all the glory that some of these other units get. But I think it bears mentioning that they are very extremely elite, just as elite as counterparts on the ground.
You want to see some of that stuff, just Google that unit's name and put it into YouTube. Dude, the things that they could do, like we're talking vehicles that are going 75, 80 miles an hour down the road, dirt road, where they can land a little bird and fly it right over the top of it and have people taking down the drivers and shit. Like the stuff that they can do is flat out amazing. Like, and there's no other way to put it. And losing people like that, losing anybody and losing people like that is a tough day for that community because it's small. Like one thing that we know about those special operations, if you talk to one Navy SEAL or one Delta dude and you're like, hey, do you know this guy? And if at the same time, if they're serving, they absolutely do. They always know each other because that community is so small.
Let's read their names here. The five soldiers killed were Chief Warrant Officer 3, Stephen R. Dwyer, age 38, Chief Warrant Officer 2, Shane M. Barnes, 34, Staff Sergeant Tanner W. Grone, 25, Sergeant Andrew P. Southard, 27, and Sergeant Cade M. Wolf, 24. And just seeing the ages, too, just guts you. All from the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, and they're based out of Fort Campbell in Kentucky. As you said, Dwyer resigned his commission to continue flying. Chief Warrant Officer 2 Barnes was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross with Valor, the highest award the U.S. military can give for bravery and skill during flight operations. Like Dwyer, Barnes joined the Army as a commissioned officer after graduating from Gonzaga University. He trained as a helicopter pilot and was assigned to a flying unit in Korea. But after being selected for the 160th, Barnes, like Dwyer, resigned his commission to fly with the Special Operations Unit. He dedicated himself to the organization and his profession, the Army said. So,
yeah. Ugh, I mean, just for context, like, one of my good buddies is a lieutenant colonel in the 160th. He never flies anymore. So, I mean, that just shows what Chap was saying about they didn't care about all the pay and retirement. They're just like, we just want to fly. We want to, you know, be able to continue, you know, doing these missions and flying alongside all of these elite operators. And to have that level of dedication to the unit is impressive.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So fair winds and following seas to all of those. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis, which today is presented by Simply Safe. There's never a wrong time to protect your home, but this fall happens to be an especially good time because you can get up to 50% off a brand new Simply Safe home security system. It was named the best home security system of 2023 by U.S. News and Report, especially with the holiday season coming up and new activities at or away from the home. Simply Safe is the perfect solution to keep you feeling at ease. Simply Safe is comprehensive protection for the whole home with advanced sensors that detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus HD cameras for both inside and out. It's powered by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. That's half the cost of traditional home security. With the 24/7 live guard protection and smart alarm wireless indoor camera, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders, helping stop crime in real time. A powerful technology exclusively from Simply Safe. I think that part is incredible where they can hop on and talk to somebody like, we're coming to get you, fool. You better get up out of here. I like that because I've been traveling a little bit more and staying a little bit later here. And it's nice to know that my family is protected by our friends at Simply Safe. Satisfaction is backed by Simply Safe's money back guarantee. Try Simply Safe for 60 days. Risk-free. If you don't love it, you can return your system for a full refund. For a limited time, listeners can get a special 50% off any Simply Safe system with a Fast Protect plan. Visit simplysafe.com/GBT. That's simplysafe.com/GBT. There is no safe like Simply Safe. All right, let's do some save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
So recently this past weekend, watching the Giant game, and one of the stories coming out of it was their quarterback, Tommy DeVito. He's a Jersey kid, and he lives at home. He plays in the NFL, but he lives at home with his family, and it was a funny quote that came out. He's like, why wouldn't I? You know, I'm single. My mom does all my laundry. She's always got the chicken cutlets. It's, you know, two things. Funny because I know, like, 40. Tommy DeVito is like, this is just how Italian families are in Jersey. It's just very, very stereotypical Italian in Jersey. I guarantee, you know, our former guy, Nick, has plenty of stories like that. But I was curious, just because we've gone away from this as a society and especially being in the military, what do you both think about living at home until you're married?
I think it's
not something I could have done. I'll tell you that.
It's not something I could have done either, but I actually have several cousins, because life is so hard right now and everything's so expensive, who have gotten married and who have moved back in with their parents while married, like as they're saving up for a house, because that's also impossible right now. Several of my cousins actually have gotten married and then moved back home. One of my favorite cousins was living, him and his wife, in the basement of their parents' like 55 and up community house, and they had to like be sneaky about it because they're not 55 and up, they're whatever. Wow. But yeah, parents are like smuggling their kids back into the 55 and ups to keep them going.
Man. So.
And I'm at the opposite end because I want to get mine up out of here. Like,
yeah, my little bird
living
fly.
With us. And I mean, I think that's the reason why, like, I want my kids to move out when they're 18 or 19, because you get so much more life experience. You don't have your parents to fall back on all the time. You need to go out there and experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
I guess you could probably have a balance where, like, you let them live with you, but you don't necessarily do anything for them. Maybe, you know, maybe you make dinner once in a while. But other than that, I mean, it sounds like DeVito basically just has his mom take care of him as though he's 14 years old, which is, again, I think that's more torture. But I don't know that I know for a fact I couldn't move back in with my parents. I would not do well with that right now. But married.
I understand the need. After my divorce, when I was living in Peg's basement, getting done work and going down to the basement and then hearing her say, dinner's ready, and me scrambling up the steps for chicken parm was the fucking best, dude. It was the fucking best.
Yeah. And I also think about our guy, Glennie Balls, who is traveling all the time doing stuff. He lives with his parents still in New York. I think that's a good setup, too. Like, if you're going all over the place, you're traveling all the time, and you could stay with your parents, imagine the amount of money that he saved working at Barstool, living with his parents, and just going out and doing his thing where he's gone 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Glennie is doing it up. He's doing it right.
Yes, I agree. Smart.
No, he's a really good example. It's like he would be home, you know, less than half the what sense does that make to pay, especially in New York City area, to pay rent for a place you're never going to be. I get it. I guess so long as it doesn't interfere with your social agenda, you know, if you can come and go as you please.
Talking about fucking. Yeah.
No. I was just talking about coming home at any time.
Oh, coming. Yeah. You're talking about coming.
Chaps, get your head out of the gutter. That's all I got.
Never. Never. Kate, what do you got?
I don't think I guess I already talked about diarrhea and all that stuff at the beginning. So I guess I kind of knocked that out. Hi. It's going good on this end. He doesn't make cute baby sounds. He's like a big kahuna, and he's like, ah, brr, brr. He like, he makes
pirate sounds. Kate's had him just sitting in her arms the entire time and has made like two peeps. What a baby. Yeah.
Dude, he just sleeps. My first child never slept. You couldn't set him down the second his back touched a flat surface. He was awake from like day one. And this guy is total, maybe that's why I'm so chill this time, because he actually sleeps. So I don't know.
How's Cash adjusting?
He'll be super sweet 1 minute, and then the next I'll run to the bathroom for 2 seconds, come back, and Cash is like pressing on the soft spot on the top of the baby's head, and I'm like, hey, cut it out. So he gives him a kiss, and then he's like throwing a Lego at his face. I'm like, whoa.
It's little brother goofing. That's his brother goofing
limits.
Right there.
Love it.
I was wondering, certain bassinets were like, we offer a full dome that goes over the bassinet to protect the baby from its siblings. And I was like, what? What does that mean? And now I'm like, I should have got the dome. I should have gotten the... So anyway, it'll be fine. It'll toughen him up.
I just want to say something real quick. Airlines got to do something about the fats. We got to do something. Like, we're at the point now. There's so many big people in society. It's getting untenable, flighting. I mean,
experience, or you're just hating?
Well, just in general, but I did have an experience. I get on the plane, I sit down, I'm in the aisle seat, and then next thing I know, in the middle comes this huge fella. Had to be pushing 4 bills. Like,
oh my gosh.
like 4 bills and like 5'9", like a 5'8", 5'9", like not a tall guy where it's evenly spread out. Not like a Taylor Lewan when he's playing left tackle. It was a big fella. Next guy comes in. He's like 350. Two huge guys side by side. And the one dude, 350 guy, is sitting by the window with his arms so scrunched together because he can't move. There should be pounds. Like, you should have to say how much you weigh before you go. And that's how one of the ways that they put together the flight manifesto, because you know what people are flying. You got to put your birthday. You got to put all that. I think you should have to drop how many LBs you are. And if you get caught lying, get out, get off the plane. We can't, this is a civilized society.
I think I support this. It's probably illegal to ask someone what their height and weight is, but there's got to be a way we can
ask. You guys are trying to shame my big baby.
No, big babies are good. I think big babies are good. And I think in domestic flights, parents should be able to hold their babies and not pay for another seat.
Wait, they can't do
that's
that?
Stupid.
No, you can. It's up until their age, too.
Okay.
What?
Yep.
I thought that was gone. Or maybe it's international? Is it international?
You still have to get them a ticket, but it's a free ticket. You just don't do what we did the first Thanksgiving we flew with our son and not get them a ticket and get up all the way through to security and be told, where's your kid's ticket? And your partner's like, oh, I didn't know. And then you miss your Thanksgiving flights and you're at the airport in Newark. And anyways.
Oh, well, I guess I was wrong about that. Still stick by what I said about the fats. No offense to any fats. Hey. I love you. You know that.
No, but it's not even about you trying to shame anyone. It's about trying to be efficient with the space that we have. So there shouldn't be a row where
and comfort. Comfort's a big part of it.
Comfort for sure. But row where it's like chaps and then two other big dudes. Like, spread out the
You know
the
what would be lucrative? A place like Cheesecake Factory should start an airline just for biggins.
There you go. And they give you cheesecake.
Yeah. And you get the full menu on your flight. And it's just
instead
of a
Stroop waffle, it's a Stroop waffle cheesecake. It's cheesecake.
Anyone can fly it, but just know this airline caters to biggins. So
I like this airline.
Yeah.
Big boy airlines. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Unit Airlines. We get all kinds of names are possible. We'll figure that out next week when we see you. Sound the retreat.